Hey friends, it's Amy from Women in WP. We published our very first episode on February 24th, 2019, and since then, we've published 86 episodes. When we did that first episode, Tracy named the file 001, and we joked about how ambitious that name sounded, thinking we might one day have more than 100 episodes. Don't worry, we aren't quitting, and we have every intention of hitting 100 episodes, but we are taking just a little summer break. Since starting, we've produced a new episode every other week without fail, and we've decided we could use a little time off. So for the next few weeks, we'll be publishing some of our favorite past episodes for you to enjoy again, and we'll be back with new episodes in September. As always, if you'd like to be on the show, visit our website at womeninwp.com and sign up. Thanks for listening, and here's the show.
Welcome to Women in WP, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman. We are happy to have Allie Nimmons with WP Buffs co-hosting with me and Tracy today.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here.
Our guest today is Brittany Odo. Brittany runs... According to Brittany, an award-winning content and social media agency based in Cleveland, Ohio. As a strategist, she specializes in helping entrepreneurs create consistent leading generating content. Welcome, Brittany.
Hi. Thanks for having me and my cat, Luna.
Yes, Brittany's cat, for those of you who are not watching right now, is very much in the frame.
Right.
You should just watch the video.
Turn off the sound.
Yes. Turn it off. Go to YouTube. Come see a cat.
Yes. She looks like the most fluffy and just comforting cat that we could all use right now.
And she's so, just like, oh, I'm being interviewed? Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's all about her. We'd like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
Yay! So I got started actually when I graduated from college in 2015. Kind of one of the things that they told students who graduated in communications to, you know, further your career was to do some writing. So it was told to like start a blog, you know, do blogging. And so I was like, okay, cool, I'll start a blog. And I just kind of did a lot of research. I'm a researcher, so like I spent way too much time researching like how to start a blog, what to do with the blog, and like all this kind of stuff. And then one day I was just like, F it, let me just start the blog. And I literally just went that day, I just decided, and I was like, according to Brittany, done. I don't even want to think about it anymore, like it's done. So that's what I did. I went to WordPress and I just went, registered, you know, according to Brittany, and then I just got started writing.
That is such a quintessential, like, already gold wisdom. Like, how many people are like, oh, I've been planning this thing, I've been researching this thing, I've been thinking about it, F it, just do it. Like, just do it, and you'll be fine. You'll figure it out. Like, that is amazing. I love that that is your story.
Yes. I was like, I can't do any more research. I've learned enough. Now it's just time to do.
There you go.
That's the best way to do it. That's how I started web development. I was like, I don't have anything tomorrow. I can just stay up all night and work on this thing. So did you start with your agency right away out of college, or did you have other things between now and then?
No, so I started off just a personal blog. Like I kind of started off with the theme was kind of more personal, just kind of my goal was to like teach other like young women who are like in college or leaving college, like what to do and like how to like navigate like the real world, you know. So I just kind of like talked about my experiences, like how, you know, how I sent applications and, you know, to get the jobs I wanted and things like that. And just kind of talked about my day to day. And then as that started kind of growing, you know, I've always wanted to like be my own boss and like be an entrepreneur. Like I took an entrepreneurship minor in college. So that's always like was my goal, was to one day start a business. And I didn't really think the blog would turn to a business. And that's why it has a name according to Brittany, is because my blog just kind of transformed into my business. So I started off just blogging. And then I was like, I want to start a business. I want, you know, that's kind of where I want to go with this. And so background.
Cat in the background.
So I'm not getting enough attention up here. Let me go back here and try to get some. But yeah, so I was kind of like, you know, I know I want to start a business, and I know that I really love writing, and I know that I, you know, that, you know, writing is something that I want to do for my career. So then I just kind of started pivoting, and my content sort of changed from just like personal career stuff to more like marketing and marketing tips. And then I started offering services, and it kind of just grew from there.
What kind of businesses do you work with? Like, who's your clientele, and what specifically, what kind of services do you offer to them?
Yeah, so I do social media management and consulting, as well as like content and some copywriting as well. And I work with a lot of different businesses, but I mainly the main clients I attract are normally like coaches, like business coaches, or you know, health coaches, or people who teach other people, and they really rely on having like a heavy social media presence. So they kind of outsource that to me so they can spend more time with their clients. So I'll take over their accounts and write the content for them and keep their social media pages up to date for them. And then I also do like blog writing and emails and, you know, writing for websites and things like that. But my main focus is social media.
So did you get, is it word of mouth? Did you advertise? Like, how did you start getting your clients?
Yeah, I started with Facebook groups. That was like my biggest thing. I started with just joining a bunch of Facebook. That's how I really started with blogging, was like, I didn't know much. So I just kind of joined all kinds of different blogging groups. And then I started joining business groups, and I would just like talk in there and like meet people and post about my services or post to like content that I wrote. And then, you know, that would bring people in. And then eventually I ended up starting my own Facebook group. And then I started bringing people in there, and then that was like my own space to like talk about my services and my business. And, and that really helped me, kind of get started and like getting people in the door of my business.
Is it just you, or did you begin hiring, like other employees to expand the business with you, or is it just you?
Right now it's just me, but I definitely am thinking towards that next step of, I have some contractors on my team that I hire out for different things. Like I have an editor on my team, things like that. But I think in the next couple years, I'm going to start building up from just me to like really that agency where it's more than one writer. And I really want to train other people and teach them how to do social media and teach other, especially like young women, like how to do it and how to, kind of transfer some of my skills onto them and help them grow their careers. Cause I know, like, for me, it was like, I know how it was like kind of coming up in this industry of just kind of, you know, figuring yourself out and not really knowing what the heck you're doing and just kind of falling into it. So I want to, you know, kind of help other women like get direction.
That's really great. I love it. Was this, when you were in school, is this what you were kind of imagining that your business or that you would do, or is this just kind of take its own life?
It wasn't actually. And I kind of pivoted in school because I didn't really know that like social media was like a job that people like do. So I didn't really have like an idea of that would be what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do, actually, my like big idea, like when I was in my entrepreneurship classes, was that I wanted to start a magazine for women around body positivity. And that was like my whole thing. Like I wanted to like teach it and talk about it and like feature women of all sizes and like be like really an inclusive magazine. So that was like my thing. Cause I've always loved writing. That's always been like the thing. I was always like, if I do, you know, whatever my career is, it has to involve writing. So my first idea was a magazine. And then I don't remember what made me shift from that. I think, I want to say that it was partly, there was a job offering at my school for a social media manager for the like my school. And so I applied for it. And I think that really like kind of jogged my like, oh, like I can do this like as a job. Like people do this type of work and get paid to do it. So that's where it was. I didn't end up getting the job, but but it at least sparked, I did an interview and it sparked my career. Now I do it all the time. So,
I love it. I mean, you really, I mean, it's the same vein of things. You are empowering women to really, you know, be successful in their own skin, which is really kind of cool to see. And especially when it comes to social media, I mean, I am on social media a lot, but I don't like, I do it socially and I don't like know how to, like, I'm not good at like doing the business side of things or whatever. But when I have clients that ask me, they're like, oh, do I need to be on all of these networks? Like, how do you keep up with which networks and which the new technology and what should I, you know, like, how do you kind of keep on top of such a changing market right now?
Yeah, a lot of it for me is a strategy. Like I develop a strategy for all my clients where we like really dive deep in like who their clients are, who they're trying to attract, what their messaging is. And that's the biggest piece that we really focus on in the beginning. And then, you know, we kind of, just like any marketing, we just do a lot of testing and we, you know, we write content, we see what works. We, you know, try to replicate things that do well and try to, you know, figure out what their audience like really relates to. And a lot of it too is just, you know, understanding who they are and who they want to attract, not just who they want to attract, but also who they are. And like being able to like show up like authentically as themselves and feel confident and feel like empowered to share their message. That's like my big thing for my clients. Like I always want them to feel like they can share. Like it's always like not a weird thing, but like I'm not like a business coach or anything, but sometimes I am like coaching my clients because they're always like, you know, they get nervous about sharing certain things or they feel, you know, like I, like for example, I had one client and I would write the word expert in her content and she'd be like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to call myself an expert, like I don't want to say I'm that person. And I was like, you know, at first I'm like, okay, you know, we don't have to say it at first, but I'm just saying you kind of are, you know. And then eventually, you know, after a while she's like, you know what, I am an expert, we should put that in my content. I was like, yes. So I love that, like being able to your authentic self. And I think that's kind of a big part of social media and like how to do it effectively, like being yourself and just showing up as you are and like really owning who you are and what you do in your message.
Do you find, it is so amazing, do you find that social media is a big thing? There's a lot of platforms. And do you find that your clients really need to focus on maybe just a couple of them? Or how do you advise them on where to put their energy?
Right.
Absolutely. Especially for my, like for people who are like small businesses, like we all, a lot of times it's only us or it's only us and a couple people. So like, you know, a lot of these, you know, companies that are doing like these huge marketing social media campaigns where they're on everything, they have huge marketing teams and they have like people who are like dedicated to this stuff. So when you're one person and you also have to do your finances and your clients and, you know, you have all these other things to do, it's just, it's not realistic to, you know, dedicate your time to all social media channels. And a lot of times what happens is that you just start trying to hit a quota. Like I just need to post something today, and all of a sudden you're just posting like anything, even if it's not something that's thought out or intentional. And then your content isn't doing well because people are like, what is this? Like, this is, I don't want to follow this. So I definitely like always encourage my clients like to stick to like two if they can, like two that they, what I tell my clients is like stick to two, but you know, have profiles on the other ones, but have those direct them to your more engaged profiles. Like when I had my Facebook group, that was like my most engaged place. That's where I showed up every day. I did content there every day. So if you went to my Twitter page, which I'm not very active on, it would just link you to my group. And, you know, you might see me tweet every once in a while, especially like during a WordCamp. That's like the only time that I'm ever tweeting. But, you know, they would know like, okay, you can go to my Facebook and that's where you'll see like me posting my Facebook group. And that's where I'm more engaged and more likely, you're more likely to see me there than here. So, and then I would have like my blog set up. So like it would automatically, whenever I posted on my WordPress blog, it would just automatically go to my Twitter. So I was staying like up to date, but it's not as engaged as my other channels.
I really think Twitter is really just like for conferences. Like I forget about it. I mean, I use it to rant about things and then talk at conferences. So, I mean, that makes sense.
It's where I rant when I can't talk about it on Instagram and Facebook because all my friends and family are there.
Exactly.
And then when it doesn't work, Sam, I'm there.
Yeah. So I have a question. Have you ever had a client where, so I, ages and ages ago, when I like first started WordPress and I worked at an agency, I worked doing social media for them. And I remember we had a client where we were basically, it was an adult diaper company. And it was really hard to consistently come up with engaging content about incontinence.
Oh my gosh, the puns are just...
Flooding. And that's, they didn't want to embrace that. Like, I wanted to do jokes and memes, and they were like, never know, so people hard. Are going to get insensitive. But have you ever had, the thing that I find so challenging and interesting about social media marketers is like, you have to be an expert on social media about whatever your client is an expert in, right? Have you ever had a client, and you don't need to like name names or anybody like that, but have you ever had a client like that where it's like, this is not a business that I know a lot about or feel very passionately about, but I have to go gung-ho with every single post. Like, have you ever had that challenge?
Oh, yeah. I have. I was actually talking to my coach about this the other day because she was like, you know, it's really weird. Not weird, but, like, it's really, like, different that you, like, work for, like, do content for, like, all these different industries, because I do kind of write for, like, different industries. Like, I've written for... I write in construction, I write in, you know, health and fitness and business. I've done like pet, you know, like pets stuff. I've done like all types of different stuff. So, so yeah, I definitely have that where I, you know, I have to do my research and take my time to really think about what the content is. And even to like what you're saying too, like about, you know, how things, you had said something about like how it's kind of like can be difficult to like kind of keep up with like the different like things and I first thing I thought popped into my head is like this 2020, like this year has been that where it's like constant like having to rewrite content, like having to throw out our whole content calendar, rewrite a whole new one because, oh, we're in a pandemic, or oh, there's like a civil rights movement, and like there's so much stuff. So it definitely is one of those things where I think too, like people need, like sometimes don't understand about social media managers is that like we really, like a lot of times you do have to become like an expert in this topic and like really understand it. And, you know, I kind of just take it, you know, I never see it. It's never been like too challenging for me. I kind of just, you know, I'm fascinated by learning about other businesses. So I kind of just dive right in and learn as much as I can and I try to come up with what I think they would like.
You know, I feel like that kind of gives you, I mean, the fact that you're coming in as an outsider, because the people that you're writing for, the, you know, audience, usually, unless it's an internal, like, whatever, blog or whatever, that's of sciencey people, right? Or mathematicians, right? But, you know, like, I think that kind of gives you, like, that leg up. And also I feel like that if think about clients that are very focused on one thing, and like you said, it's a pandemic, it's very very easy when things are so crazy and changing so often, it's very easy to post some very insensitive or very poorly timed content if you're not careful. So that's, I mean, that's really being on top of things. That's really, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely had that moment, especially like in March, like when the pandemic kind of really, like, you know, they're starting to send people home from work and like you're shutting things down. And it was like, you know, I really had to look at some of my clients' content and say like, you know, we can't post this. Like we need to change. We needed to shift things a little bit. And two, like with, you know, Black Lives Matter, with that going on and people really talking about that kind of stuff. But that was another time I sent out an email to all my clients and I was like, hey, you know, just, you know, I don't know if you pay attention to the news, but if you do,
in case you haven't noticed, there's a
lot going on around Black Lives Matter, and one of the things is that everyone's posting like black squares. Let me know if you want me to post for you. Things like that. You kind of just have to stay on top of that kind of stuff and make sure that your clients are aware of it and make sure that their content is up to par or makes sense for the time. And like you said, not being insensitive, because it's so easy. There is definitely content that I can think of where like, I was like, oh my God, we cannot post this because we're talking about a global pandemic. And like, it was like one client, we're talking about like all this great stuff she's done. And she's like making all, and she's doing all this great stuff, and then like people are like losing their jobs, and like, so I'm like, we can't post that right now, we can post it another time. Right now is not a good time to talk about that.
Yeah. How much guidance do you end up giving? Because I see a lot of especially with the Black Lives Matter stuff, like I see a lot of companies that they put out their for me it was very it was louder that when companies didn't post something that they're like, we support this, than those that did, put together something of like, here's what, we support and here's what we're doing. Like how much have you found like having to kind of remind people about that, or have people been like, no, actually I see this and I not to jump on the bandwagon, but I feel like called to like say something. And
that is such an excellent question, Tracy, too, because we had a local bookstore that came out with a statement around Black Lives Matter, which was that we're not going to make a statement, and all the reasons they weren't going to make a statement, that they felt like it was some sort of slippery slope that they'd have to make a statement about everything. And it ended up being like, why did you even bother to say anything at all?
That was a statement bigger than any other statement.
You made a statement and said the wrong thing.
And he said, and it was just like, does anyone else not see this as like a problem? Wow. So people can, they were trying to do something because they felt like they had to do something, but they needed a Britney. So if you had to kind of coach them a little bit on maybe what might be the appropriate thing to say, or that they need to say something, or do they come to you and say, I want to say something? I guess that's like reiterating what Tracy said.
For the most part, most of my clients had kind of taken care of it already, because I don't completely take it over, but they still can post, so most of my clients had already made their statement, talked about it. I work with a lot of like women of color, so like a lot of them, they felt they felt called to say something. And then clients who didn't, here is what I can do for you. Here's how I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to, tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you, here's what I think. I'm going to give you the recommendation, and I can help you with it if you need help, especially as a Black woman. I can for sure help you. And, it's kind of up to them to, make the choice on if they want to or not.
That's so cool that I love hearing that you work with lots of women of color. And, I don't want to completely shift the conversation into being something like super political or whatever, but, as a woman of color in the WordPress space, I don't see a lot of other women of color. Like, I'm really happy that you're here, because I don't see a lot of women of color in the WordPress space when I go to WordCamps and so on. What is your high level, not trying to like go into anything insane, but like, what has your experience been like as a woman of color in this sort of like tech space, or the internet space in general?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, I've been really, I don't even know what the best way to say it is, but like used to being the only woman of color in spaces. Like I went to a predominantly white college, high school, like my whole schooling, I typically was the only woman of color, or one of the few. So not that it's like a you know, a good thing or anything like that, but I'm just, I'm so used to it that I don't even, right. Yeah, sometimes it just goes over my head. Like, I don't even, like, realize it sometimes, like, oh, yeah, I am the only the only one here.
Do you notice, like, I notice when I'm the only woman, like, do you notice it more when you're the only woman versus
probably I might notice it more. I don't know, I can't even think of like a time where I even thought about it. I'm like an introvert and I'm always in my head, so I'm probably more in my head about just like, oh, do I look weird, do I, you know, am I not talking enough, or am I talking too much, or do I look stupid, you know. I'm always in my head about like just everything, so I think my brain is just too clogged up to even But I definitely think, like, it, you know, I would love to see more women of color in this space and in all spaces, because I feel like I'm a lot of times it's like that, where, you know, you're you know, the only one, or you're one of the few. And, you know, I definitely think that, you know, kind of, I don't know how the best way to say it, but like, feel welcome to like do that kind of stuff. Like, a lot of times I think, you know, especially like for our women of color, I feel like we can feel intimidated, because I know there's, you know, times where like I can feel like, oh, like I can notice it. I think I notice things like that more in like social spaces, and, you know, I feeling like the odd one out, or like the one that's not, you know, that's different from everyone else. And I have to, you know, a lot of times for me, I kind of, that's when my like introvertness like goes off to the high, and I'm like quiet, and I like close myself off. And I think that kind of keeps, you know, kind of puts the wall up for me. You know, not to speak for everyone, but sometimes it's just kind of like taking that leap of like, I'm just going to do it anyway. Like I when I went to my first word camp, I literally just saw an ad on my Facebook, and I was like, oh, it was like, do you use WordPress? And I was like, yes. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'll go to this word camp. And I just went. I went by myself. I didn't know anyone. And, you know,
I wish advertising was always that easy. It's like, yeah. You need this? Yes, I will buy it.
Yes, that is perfect. Amazing.
And you've that done some, so you've done some talks too, right? Organizing and talks. Tell us about that.
I think I volunteered at my very first one, and at WordCamp Kent. I think it was WordCamp NEO when I first went to it. And then the last couple years I organized, so I was on the organizing team. And then this year I did my first like talk at our virtual WordCamp, which was really cool. And perfect for me. Like I said, I'm an introvert. I don't mind speaking, but it was like nice to just kind of be home. And I'm definitely really great at talking via computer. So that was cool to, you know, and it was the first time we've ever done that. So that was really cool to be a part of that. But yeah, I kind of just, you know, just threw myself in there. I'm really like an ambitious person. So I kind of just, you know, I'm really serious about where I want to be, and like, you know, diligent and hardworking. So I kind of, you know, I saw the opportunity of just being able to, you know, be a part of something really cool, and, you know, meeting a lot of people and getting a lot of support for my business and my blog. And so I just kind of was like, let's do it. Next year organizing, next year speaking, let's get in it, let's get into it.
You know, as you do, you know, okay. Yeah. So the $1 million question is, so obviously like all of these studies show, like have proven that companies with women and people of color that are, you know, on leadership, they'll do better, you know, like they make better products, that, you know, everything, right? So for people that aren't as ambitious as you, that just jump in and see an ad on Facebook, what, like, you know, what needs to happen? Like, what kind of things do we have to like see before we can actually have that comfortable space that's open and welcoming for all?
Good question. I think, you know, I think finding other people who you do feel comfortable with is really important. Like for me, I always feel more comfortable around women than I do men. So I typically will, you know, spend more time with women and, you know, at least get comfortable in that space. And then, you know, if I do see a woman of color, then I will definitely like cling on to them. Like, you know, like, yes, we're here together. Woo! So I think that's really great. And that's not always easy because a lot of times, you know, you're the only one or you're the first one. So I think that's one good way. And I think, for like the organizing teams and things like that, just to kind of make it, make those efforts. And, you know, I'm not an expert in this type of stuff, but like making those efforts of just, you know, making it known that, you know, we do welcome everyone. We do want everyone to be a part of it. We celebrate our people of color in our community and our women in our community, and we want them to be a part of this. And sometimes I think I've been noticing, like lately, I feel like, people, you know, feel like they are not, you know, non-racist and but I think a lot of times we have to be not just not racist, but anti-racist. Like I'm going to take on the racism, take on the things that are happening, and I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to counter that through this action of making a statement or reaching out to a woman of color or, you know, sharing women of color, you know, businesses or, you know, whatever that may be, where it's like, I'm not just going to say I'm not racist and I'm not going to support racism. Like, that's great. And that's really, you know, it's important, but it's also important to say, like, not only am I not racist, but I'm going to support a Black woman, or I'm going to, you know, make sure they feel welcome. Or, you know, I think that's one thing that's coming out of this is like, it's not enough just to say we're not racist, our company isn't racist. Like, we're not racist and we're gonna do X, Y, and Z over the next year, donate or hire more people of color or bring more people of color into the, you know, into the C-suite or, you know, whatever that is. And I think that's what's important. I think that's what will help anybody who wants to make their space more inclusive. It's like, okay, what are we gonna do? Like, that needs to be a part of your company. Like, here's our policies, and then here's our anti-racism policy.
One more time for everyone in the back, right? Like that, like so true. Like that whole, like, I am not racist is not a statement. It's the start of a statement.
That is the bare minimum.
It's the start of the action.
Right.
Yeah. Saying I'm not, like, being not racist is really the bare minimum. Like,
right, that's what you should be.
What do you want, like, a critique for not being racist? Like, okay, fine, you're not racist. That should be that's the great. Baseline. That should be the expectation.
Lives, you know, after that, you know, matter. Right. Like, that's the Hello? Minimum.
That's like saying I'm not a murderer. Like, okay, cool,
great. I didn't kill anyone today. I am a saint. Like
no. Hello? Exactly. Brittany, I don't know if you are aware of the WordPress Women of Color Slack channel, but we do have a Slack channel. So I just sent you the link to that in the chat so that you can join that, because I'm actually not as active in it as I should be, and I'm making a vow to myself right now to change that. But yeah, we do have a little community, because I'm totally the same way, where, like, I remember there's a woman, Desiree, who works at Bluehost, and I met her at WordCamp US, and I remember, like, seeing her across the, like, huge sponsor room and being like, oh, you, oh my gosh, hi, let's be friends. And the minute she saw me, like, walking toward her, she knew exactly what I was coming toward her about, and we, like, hugged, and we were like, I'm so glad you're here. And it's like, yeah, it's amazing. Like, I have so many female friends in WordPress, and I have so many male friends in WordPress, and I love them all, and they're all fantastic, but it is a little bit, like, above when you find someone who is kind of a unicorn like you, and you're like, I see you, you see me, we're gonna support each other. And it's incredibly, incredibly uplifting, and I absolutely love when it happens. So I'm really glad that I met you, because now you are another friend that I can hold on tightly to and support and encourage. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I love the WordPress community, is because I, like you, grew up in a very, let's just say, like, mixed up kind of environment. So, like, I only now, approaching my 30s, realize when I'm the only, like, not white person in the room. But now that I notice it, I feel like I can't like unsee it in a way. I'm like hyper aware of it. But that's why I love the WordPress community, because I've always felt very supported in that, and like that everyone supports me being vocal about that. And I think that's really what sets our community apart from others, and why I want more people of color in this community, because I do believe that it is a good kind of incubator for change and an incubator for these sorts of conversations. So not to completely derail to my stuff, but I love everything that you just said, and we need so many more conversations like this.
Thank you so much for sending me that link. I'm definitely going to check that out. I definitely want to be a part of that. That's awesome. And I'm so glad that we met as well.
Yeah. My friend Ebony started it, and I think you and her would really, really get along. Not just because we're all Black women, but I just like your energy. I feel like you and her would really get along. Because that's also a trap, too, of being like, oh, Black person, be friends.
Wait a minute. I know one. Do you know so-and-so?
Yeah. Do you know this other Black person I know? But yeah.
Well, in the WordPress community, unfortunately, that is kind of, right? It's still a small community, but...
a small group.
I like what you said. Like, I think this, because WordPress is so big and vast and over one third of the internet, I think you're right with that. Like, it's a good place to start. And, you know, speaking as someone from that checks at least a few more of the privilege and majority boxes, like that, with that large of a community, it's very important for us all to be intentional and look around and see who's there but who's missing, and just like you said, like make that space for people, because like if we are creating the internet, because it really is, like, we're going to be creating an incorrect and bad internet, right? If we have only a portion of the world represented. So I appreciate that. I'm glad there's a group.
Awesome. Yes.
I need to be more active in it.
One of the more like women-friendly conferences that I went to that was more tech was WooConf, which was a WooCommerce conference. And I just felt so welcome, even though there was a minority of women. There was a lot of diversity, and it just felt, I felt good. It was like I was happy when I've been to conferences where it's that kind of balance of men to women. I felt very just not out of place and awkward. And they succeeded at something. And so I went to Patrick Rolland, who was one of the organizers of the event, and or I may have even tweeted it, and he said, hey, so glad you mentioned that. He says, we actually created a committee that was all focused on welcoming and diversity, so there's a lot of intentionality behind everything, behind all the messaging. So like their brochure, their cover on their website and everything was a Black woman on a stage giving the talk. Like, that was the message for this conference, is women, diversity. So even that subtle messaging, and they had like a room for nursing moms or parents, like they made everything like super welcoming for people. And I know there was just like, it was like a vibe, and it's just really interesting. I think you do have to, like you were saying, Brittany, like you can't just passively say it. You can't say we want diversity or we're anti-race, we're not racist. It's like you actually have to put intention into it. And there was a really interesting article that went around about companies using reference, like referrals to hire employees, and how if you get referrals from your current employees,
they're going to have employees that look like your current them. Employees. Like,
exactly. And it's like how that could be thwarting your diversity efforts. So there is this whole intentionality thing. And I think even if you're not quite sure what it is, you just put together that committee and you will figure out what it is. Whether it's the messaging or the images you use or how you set up the environment, all these subtle cues make a difference in people's feeling welcomed, I think.
And we were talking about Twitter being a place of ranting. I've totally called out places that I'm like, hey, what?
And it's why it's so important, why we like for us to have social media managers and content people from all different walks of life, because you also like, I try to be cognizant of the fact that like people don't always know what they don't know. So like sometimes for, you know, a white cis male owner of a company to make an insensitive statement during, you know, Black Lives Matter going on, it may not be because he's a racist, but just because he doesn't have that context to understand why that's not okay to post. And for somebody like Brittany to come in and be like, I have this context and this experience, and so I can tell you in a kind way that this is not okay, like that's just so incredibly valuable, because otherwise you're like expecting people to just be perfect at something that they have no experience with, in a way, you know. And I think there's a lot of like, well, go out and educate yourself, or, you know, we can't all educate ourselves about everything.
You also, you don't know what you don't know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I think having a diverse group of professionals, having people from all different walks of life and all different roles, just makes everyone else better at their job. And yeah. End of thought.
Yeah. I've definitely had people who like even weren't my clients, and they asked me like, you know, do you think that this, you know, sounds okay? And I was like totally on board for that. I was like, I will definitely help you, you know, craft your message so you can, you know, say something that is, you know, not going to be offensive to anyone. Like I was totally on board for that, because I, you know, I definitely, you know, like you said, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I do appreciate when someone is at least trying to make an effort. You know, sometimes, you know, an effort can not be a good effort, or it can be, you know, of course the people make efforts and it's not the right move. But I think, you know, I like to think at least that people have good intentions when they do things like this. So, you know, I like I said, I'm like always open to that, because, you know, I have that experience that they don't have, that I can share with them. And that was a really big part of my social media, because normally I don't really talk a lot about, you know, anything that can be deemed political, which I don't, you know, I don't think that Black Lives Matter is political. I think it's, you know, human rights. It's not, you know, but, you know, typically I wouldn't talk about that kind of stuff on my page, but, you know, I just felt really called to, and I think I really, and I think, you know, normally it's like, like I said, it's kind of like, you know, I'm just not gonna, you know, speak on it. I have my own views, and I will, you know, I'll talk about it when I, you know, when I feel like talking about it. But I did really like talk about it a lot on my page, you know, lately. And I think it really showed me how important it was for me to talk about it. Like a lot of people would message me and say like, oh my God, I didn't even know that. Or, you know, like I had no idea this is what, you know, people of color go through. Or, you know, and I was just like, it really took me back, because, you know, a lot of times I don't talk about it because I don't want to get in arguments with people, but I was mostly was the exact opposite, where people were like, oh my God, thank you so much for sharing that. Or, you know, like it was very positive. So I thought it was, you know, kind of just one of those things where it's just like, it's important to talk about, and it's important to talk about, you know, how, what you're doing to, you know, support this issue in our country that we had and we've had for years. And, you know, even if you're not affected by it or you don't understand it, to, you know, try to understand. Like, I don't have to understand how hard it is for someone to, you know, go through a different experience to not, you know, care about it. You know, there's tons of things that I don't understand, but I can empathize with someone who is having a traumatic experience. I think that's really what people need to think about, or kind of think about it, like think about it in that sense of like, okay, I don't get this because I've never gone through it, but I can understand that someone who has gone through it is, you know, feels pain, feels sadness, feels, you know, whatever that is, and try to do what I can in whatever space that is to prevent that. Or to,
and that is so powerful, because you are a communicator. You know, you are somebody who has this gift and this passion of communicating with others through the internet. And so I love that you did feel called to speak out about it, because there are a lot of people who like want to speak out about it and share their opinions, and they are not particularly good at it. And maybe they're going to stumble over their words and misconstrue things and end up getting into arguments. And, you know, we need communicators. We need people who are eloquent and, you know, able to communicate their feelings properly to be able to have well-structured and useful, you know, conversations. Like I had a conversation with someone recently about like, why is this civil rights movement so different from the civil rights movement like in the 60s with Martin Luther King Jr.? And their argument was, and I kind of agree, is like, we're not, as a culture, we're not good at communicating with each other as much anymore. Like we rely so much on like memes and emojis and like all these kind of shorthand type of things that don't allow for nuance sometimes. And so I think that the fact that you are such a gifted communicator with your messaging, whether it's, you know, construction on social media or whatever it is, like it's so valuable to be able to like, as much as you feel comfortable using that passion and that gift for like positive world-changing things.
Absolutely.
Like, it warms my heart to hear that.
That's so awesome. Brittany, it has been so fabulous to have you on the show. We could just talk all afternoon, and it's like making a new friend. And we've made friends all over the planet, and we're just feel so blessed. And I hope that we'll stay in touch and we'll see you at upcoming WordCamps. And before we close, can you tell people how they best can find you?
Yes. Well, I definitely enjoyed this conversation. It was awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me. And you can find me, my website is accordingtobrittany.com, and Brittany is spelled with two T's and an N, not an A, or an E, not an A. And you can also find me on Instagram at accordingtobrittany.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.